promised last week we'd get to some traditional Christmas messages, so here we go. We're going to be in a couple of different places today, primarily in Matthew 1 and 2, and also in Luke 1 and 2, so if you have your Bibles, you can kind of earmark those areas so you can kind of keep up as we go along. This morning, I want to talk about God's will at Christmas. And honestly, not just God's will at Christmas, but it should be God's will every day. Now, when you look at what we call the Christmas story in the Bible, there are many different scriptures involved, and there are several different people doing a lot of different things. We see everything from the calling of God to people like Joseph and Mary, to the shepherds in the field with their sheep that night. We see Herod doing everything that he can to hold on to his power and to his kingdom. And in all of these accounts, we see many different lessons that God gives to us concerning not only the birth of Christ, but also concerning our relationship with him and our service to him. And so we see a lot of powerful lessons in everyone's story. But you know, of all the lessons that I see when I look at what we would call a traditional Christmas text, the greatest lesson that I see occurs over and over and over in every person's story. And that is the lesson that God's will must always be supreme in our lives. And that means that God's will has to be supreme over your will. That means God's will has to be supreme over other people's wills. And it means that God's will has to be supreme over all other things. And this lesson occurs over and over in all of these scriptures that we're going to look at this morning. And so it's a week before Christmas, and I want to show you five different biblical accounts of people and how they put the will of God over all other things and all other people, and even how they put it over their own will. And it is my prayer this morning, as we look at these people's stories, that we ourselves will be motivated to put God's will first in our own lives, not only at Christmas, but every single day. So what do the Christmas text teach us about putting God's will first in our lives? Well, let's start in Matthew chapter 1. The first person story I want to look at this morning is Joseph's. And we find his story concerning the will of God in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And in his story, we see the truth. Sometimes God's will is going to come and interrupt our lives. Sometimes God's will is going to interrupt our plans for our lives. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 1, 18, verses 18 through verse 21. Let's read it together. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin." This past spring, our youngest daughter got married. Our son-in-law, Daryl, he's about a good boy as we could have asked for. Number one, he's born-again Christian. Number two, he's educated. Number three, he's got a good job. Number four, he loves my daughter. He's just a good boy. And if you get to know him, you'll find out what I'm talking about. And we couldn't ask for any better. And Katie and Daryl, they don't have any children yet, but it is in the plan for the near future, is what I understand. And they don't know it yet. You got to go through it to understand it, don't you? You just don't understand how a baby will wreck your, change your life, okay? I won't use the word wreck, but it'll wreck your sleep habits, I'll tell you that. That's for daggone sure. If you ain't ever had a 3 or 4 month old baby in the house at night and you figured out you have one, okay? And they just don't understand yet what this is going to be like. They both work and they both have jobs and it's going to change everything, especially when they're not getting any sleep. It's going to come, and I'm excited for them when it does. But you know, I can only imagine how my son-in-law would have felt had my daughter turned up pregnant before they got married and he had known for a fact it wasn't his. Now, how do you think he would have felt had he known that? If you want the truth, I'm not sure he would have married her. If she had turned up pregnant before they got married and he knew for a fact that wasn't his baby, I'm not sure he would have married her, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have blamed him. Okay? Because that kind of thing would crush any guy. But you know, as we look at this text here in Matthew chapter 1, it is apparent to me that Joseph is making the assumption that Mary had been unfaithful, that she had been with another man. Why do I say that? Well, he hadn't been with her, and she's pregnant. And you know, up to this point, nobody had ever gotten pregnant without having another partner, right? I mean, it just never happened, did it? There's nothing like this that ever happened in human history. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. It's not his. He knows it's not his. So let me ask you, if you were him, what assumption would you have drawn? I've drawn the same assumption he drew. She must have been unfaithful, right? And that's exactly where his mind went. Now, I like this guy. Bless his heart. I just love him. It says, he was minded to put her away privily. Now, he was hurt. He was. Don't you think he wasn't? But even though he was hurt, even though he thought she'd been unfaithful, he didn't want to, he says he was minded to put her away privily. He didn't want to make a public spectacle of it. He didn't want to put her to a public shame. But before he could end the relationship, you know what the Lord did? The Lord sent his angel to Joseph with some very surprising news. And that news was that Mary had not been unfaithful, but rather, this pregnancy happened by the power of God. This pregnancy was a miracle. And what's more, the Lord wanted Joseph to go ahead and take Mary to be his wife and to raise this baby because, according to the angel, this baby she was carrying was the Savior of the world. Now, fellas, put yourself in Joseph's place for a minute. Think back to when you were engaged and when you were in that phase of your relationship with your wife. And think about when you were just so madly in love like a young man and a young woman are. And you think all of a sudden she turns up pregnant and you've come to the conclusion she's been unfaithful. And all of a sudden God sends an angel to you who says, oh, she wasn't a bit unfaithful. She hasn't had any affairs with anyone. What happened to her has happened by the power of the Holy Ghost. And this is a real special baby. This baby is the Savior of the world. Imagine trying to wrap your brain around that. Can you imagine how his mind must have raced when he heard this? I mean, think about it, friends. What was he going to tell his family, and what was he going to tell his friends? Would anyone believe him? And then when you get past what everyone else in the world was going to think about this, just think about the awesome responsibility that he was going to have here in raising the Son of God. Can you imagine being given that responsibility to be the earthly guardian of God's Son? This had to be very overwhelming for Joseph. And I'm sure this boy had plans of his own. What do you think? I mean, he's engaged. He's fixing to get married. I'm sure he had plans of his own. He probably figured I think he thought it was going to come in this order. They would get married. Then she would get pregnant, then they would have children, and that they would work hard and have a very happy and simple life. I think that was his plan, but guess what? God's plan was different. And on this day, Joseph had to decide if he would let the will of God interrupt his life, or he wouldn't. On this day, he had to decide would he let God's plan for his life interrupt his plan for his life. And you know, today God still does this. You know, today God still comes and interrupts our lives and interrupts our plans. And when he does, friends, we have to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to put away what we want and do what God wants, or are we just going to go ahead and do what we want? This still happens all the time. It happens to me on a regular basis. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes it's little things. Heck, sometimes I get a plan in my head, I'm going to go do this today, and then God throws someone in my path on that day that really needs some help, that needs someone to minister to them, that needs someone to tell them about Jesus. And all of a sudden, guess what? My whole plan gets wrecked.
Amen.
Every day it happens. You know, we have to make decisions. Whose will are we seeking to do, ours or God's? And I'm telling you, when the Lord comes and he interrupts your day, or he interrupts your plan, or he interrupts your will, you got to make a decision which one you're going to do. Is your own. I'm thankful that Joseph put his will aside and yielded himself to God and his will. Before I move on, I want to remind you of something Jesus said in Matthew 16:25. Jesus said this. He said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Friends, those are a lot more than just words. You know what that statement tells me? It tells me that if Jesus is truly the master and Lord of your life, then you're going to have to put away your will and follow his.
Amen.
And that means no matter what. Joseph was confronted with this choice. He chose to put the will of God over his own will. He allowed God to interrupt his life and interrupt his plans. And this brings me to the next person I want to look at, and that is Mary's story. And we see it in Luke chapter 1. Turn there with me real quick. Luke chapter 1. And in Mary's story, we see that sometimes doing the will of God will require us, listen to me, to suffer a loss of reputation.
Amen.
Sometimes doing the will of God will cause us to fall out of favor with the world.
Amen.
Amen. I know this one to be true. Let me tell you something. I have fallen out of favor with family members, I have fallen out of favor with friends, I have fallen out of favor with neighbors, and I have fallen out of favor with church members. Because I sought to do nothing more than God's will. And sometimes, friends, it's going to happen. We see it in Mary's situation. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, and we'll read verse 35. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came and said unto her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you all something. This is just truth. A young woman who is pregnant outside of wedlock today is so commonplace, nobody even notices.
Amen.
Now, I've been alive a while. I grew up back in the 1970s as a kid, and I grew up back in the 80s. I'm going to tell you something. Back when I was a kid, if a girl got pregnant, I'm going to tell you something, man. If she's pregnant outside of wedlock, everybody in the community talked about it. Okay? It was a shameful thing. Back in the 70s. Back in the 50s, my mom and dad tell me if a young girl got pregnant, you know what they did? They shipped her off. Sent her somewhere else so nobody in the community would know that she was pregnant. Sent her off to somebody else for a while until she had the baby. It just wasn't something people did, okay? But today, it is so commonplace, we don't even think about it anymore.
Amen.
We don't even, I hate to say it, church, we don't even view it as being wrong anymore. We don't. I'm just going to say, you do realize sex is something that God, it's a gift from God. You do realize it's something that is reserved, the Bible says, for the marriage bed.
Amen.
It is not a recreational activity. It is something sacred that God has ordained. And I'm telling you, when someone gets pregnant out of wedlock, it's a sin. I'm sorry.
Amen.
And I ain't saying God won't forgive. God will forgive. I understand that. But today, we don't even look at it as being a problem because it's so commonplace. But let me tell you something. Back in Mary's day, a young woman who was pregnant outside of marriage in that day, honey, that wasn't commonplace, nor was it overlooked. As a matter of fact, Mary knew very well if she went ahead and did this and people thought she got pregnant outside of being married, she knew she would be shunned. not just by the community, but by her family. She knew she would be shunned. And matter of fact, if you look at Deuteronomy 22, Joseph, get this, he could have had her put to death. He could have had her stoned to death, and I believe she knew this. And I'm going to tell you something. If you put all this in a chronological order, this angel appears to Mary before the angel appeared to Joseph. She was already pregnant when the angel appeared to Joseph. And so she's got to make a choice. You know, what am I going to do? What's Joseph going to think? What's the community going to think? What's my family going to think? What's going to happen? Joseph hears this and he finds out I'm pregnant. He can put me to death. That's what Deuteronomy 22 said. And she knew she would be looked down on by her family and friends. And while I can't definitively say this, I have to believe there was a very good chance that neither her family or Joseph's family ever had anything to do with them ever again if she made this choice to follow God's will. Let me ask you this. If Joseph jumped to the conclusion that she had been unfaithful, then what conclusion do you think everyone else was going to jump to? I have to believe Mary tried to tell people what happened. I believe it. After she got pregnant,
it was
obviously outside of wedlock. I have to believe that she said, well, let me tell you what really happened. The angel of the Lord appeared to me. And I didn't have relations with anyone. I didn't know any man, but the power of the Holy Ghost put this baby in my stomach. This is the Son of God. Let me ask her. What do you think people said? What do you think they would say today? I'll tell you what they'd say today. Same thing they said back then. Yeah, you're mine. You're just trying to hide what you've done. You just don't want to admit you was wrong. You just don't want to admit you did something you shouldn't have done. How many people do you think believed her when she told the story about the virgin birth? I can only imagine the looks and the whispers she must have endured for her whole life, all because she yielded herself to the will of God. And I have to believe that the constant whispers and ridicule is what led her to push Jesus so hard at that wedding in Canaan in John chapter 2. Remember that? Remember when they ran out of wine? You remember Mary? Hey, son, go do something about this. Now, I don't know that she knew exactly what he was going to do, but she wanted him to do something special. Remember what Jesus said? And Jesus knew her heart, and Jesus knew her mind, and Jesus knew she was wanting him to do something miraculous. Remember what he said? Woman, it ain't my time yet. But what did he do? He was good to his mama, wasn't he? And so he turned water into wine. Why do you think this was so important to Mary? I'm going to tell you why this is so important to Mary. Because she wanted everyone to know she'd been telling the truth for all those years. She wanted everybody to know that she had not been the person the community accused her of being back when she first got pregnant. She wanted to be vindicated. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus stood up and turned water into wine, you know what I believe she did at that wedding? I believe she jumped up and said, see, I told you. When he started giving blind people their sight, I bet Mary was right there saying, see, I told you. When he started giving lame people the ability to stand up and run off, I bet Mary was right there saying, see, I told you. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, I bet Mary was right there saying, see, I told you this was a virgin birth. I told you this was the Son of God. I told you it wasn't mine. She wanted to be vindicated. Can't throw no stones at her. I bet you and I would have been vindicated too. What do you think after all those years? She'd been waiting for the day when the world would see who Jesus really was. And you know what? I also have to believe because of the stuff she endured. I believe maybe this is why the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 was so important to Jesus. Because she too, like Jesus' own mother, had endured a lot of whispers and ridicules and dirty looks. And even though the Samaritan woman's reputation was earned, Jesus still showed her grace, didn't he? But in Mary's story, we see the truth that sometimes, friends, if we allow God to have his way in our lives, it will bring about a loss of reputation. And it will cause us to fall out of favor. World. Let me ask you something. How serious are you about doing the will of God? Will you do the will of God if it causes you to fall out of favor with the world? Will you do the will of God if it costs you your job? Will you do the will of God if it costs you a relationship with your family? See, that's where it starts getting real, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
I mean, this is all academic when I stand in the pulpit and I tell you what happened to Mary, but let me tell you something. When it happens to you and all of a sudden there may be a price for doing God's will, then all of a sudden it gets real, don't it?
Amen.
How serious are you about doing the will of God? Are you serious as Mary was that you are willing to have a loss of reputation in the community? Are you serious enough that you'll fall out of favor with the world or fall out of favor with family in order that God's will be done? She's not the only one. Let's look on. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. Here we see the shepherds out in the field tending to their sheep. Let's read about this here in Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." I'm going to let y'all in a little secret this morning. You ready for this? Jesus wasn't born on December 25th.
Amen.
Was everybody aware of that already? That Jesus was not born on December 25th? Matter of fact, he was probably born in the summertime, late summer, sometime in September. Now, how do I know that? Well, I know that because over in the Holy Land, they don't have pastures of green grass like we have here in Kentucky. Shepherds there are nomadic, and they move the sheep all over the region to where there's grass. And guess what? Like clockwork, they end up in the region around Bethlehem every year around the end of September. And this has gone on for centuries. And so it just kind of stands to reason it was late summer, sometime probably around September, when Jesus was born. So that's kind of would have been when the shepherds would have been near Bethlehem. And I want you to think about these guys. These guys are shepherds, okay? This is not a hobby. This is a profession. These guys were serious about being shepherds. And one night they're out in the field doing what they do, keeping the sheep, okay? And these guys loved their sheep. They protected the sheep. They fed the sheep. They led the sheep. They watered the sheep. They did everything they had to do to keep the sheep alive. And I'm going to tell you something. For a shepherd, there is nothing more important. Nothing more important than the sheep. Susie, y'all used a dairy farm. My family used a dairy farm. For a dairy farmer, there ain't nothing more important than what? A cow. Right? I mean, without dairy cows, you don't have very good dairy, do you? Okay? Well, for a shepherd, there ain't nothing more important than the sheep. And for a shepherd, that's very important. But one night, the Lord sent his angelic host to meet these guys in the nighttime sky. Now, first, the Bible says they were afraid until God calmed their fears. And once God's message was delivered to these guys, guess what they did? They left the sheep. They left the sheep to go find them. Child. Friends, this was unheard of for a group of shepherds to leave their sheep unattended, unprotected at night out in the wilderness. But that's exactly what these guys did. You know what this shows me? This shows me the very valuable truth that sometimes God's will require us to put aside things, even things that are important, for things that are eternal. Yeah, the sheep were very important. I can't argue that. But they weren't as important as finding Jesus on that night. When you weigh it out, you say, well, which one's more important? Well, obviously finding Jesus and worshiping, that's the most important, right? You know, this is still a problem for people today, right? You know how many Sundays? Somebody not church. want to rub the preacher's fur the wrong way, just say this to me. When I call you and say, hey, we missed you today, everything all right? Yeah, I had something more important to do. Really? You had something more important to do? Okay, well, please tell me what it was. And you know, oftentimes there are things that are important, and I understand that. And I'm not saying you can never miss church, and Barbara's in the hospital, Barbara's got some problems this morning, Jeff's not here. I understand that, and I don't have any problem with that, and I don't think the Lord does either. But I got news for you. Going to a picnic at Cave Run Lake is not more important.
Amen.
You hear me? Going fishing is not more important. Going playing golf is not more important. Sometimes God will come, God will speak, and he said, I want you to do this. He said, well, Lord, I've got something very important to do. Hey, maybe you do. But ask yourself, is it more important than what God is calling you to do? See, sometimes God is going to come and his will is going to require us to put things aside, even things that are truly important. We all got to make a living, don't we? We all got to have money to pay bills and buy food. We do. That's important. I'm not saying it isn't. But it ain't more important than God's will. And if God speaks to you and God says, hey, I want you to do something, you got to decide. Are you going to be like the shepherds, and are you going to put God's will over things, even things that are important? Friends, sometimes God's will interrupt our lives in such a way that we're going to have to put his will over our will or his will over our plans. Sometimes God's will require us to fall out of favor with the world and suffer a loss of reputation. Sometimes God's will require us to put aside things, even very important things for him and his will. And this brings me to the fourth group of people. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 2 on this one. And that's the wise men. And we read about their story in Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, I want to start by reading verse 1 and 2, and then we'll jump down and read verse 9 through 11. Verse 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 2, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Jump down to verse 9. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know what this account shows me? This account shows me that doing the will of God sometimes requires us to make great personal sacrifice. Sacrifices of things like our time, our talents, and our treasures. And sometimes, if this, even our own personal safety. As I read this, and as I look at the whole story, you may have never thought about this before, and if you're interested in seeing me at church, I'll explain this to you. These guys didn't walk a couple of days and come to the main. Okay? Every nativity set you've ever seen where the wise men are standing there with their gifts is biblically inaccurate. I'll just say it. It's wrong. Okay? Because they didn't go to the daggone manger. What does it say in verse 11? It says they didn't find a babe lying in a manger, did they? That was the shepherds. What did they find in verse 11? They found a young child with his mother in a house.
Amen.
Hey, read what's going on here. Read, Herod's asking them, hey, when did you first see the star? And they tell him, and Herod does some math when they don't come back, and he realizes he's been mocked. That's why he kills the male children in that region from 2 years old and under, because it took them about 2 years to get from wherever they were to where Jesus was. Okay? That's why it says he was a young child. He wasn't a baby no more. He was probably about 2 years old. And so it took them a lot of time, friends, okay? They sacrificed a lot of their time coming to find him. It probably was a very dangerous journey for them to do, and which means they put their lives in jeopardy for him. They also brought very expensive gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Friends, these men sacrificed so much, not only to come and find the Lord Jesus, but also to worship him. And I'm telling you today, nothing has changed. I want you to hear me real plain what I'm about to say. Nowhere in the Word of God Does God say that doing His will be easy?
Amen.
Never says that. God didn't say, oh, I'll make this so easy for you if you did. No. That's not the way it works. On the contrary, the Word of God shows us very plainly that doing the will of God is one of the most difficult things that any person can endeavor to do. Think about it. In the New Testament, we see people like Paul and Peter and the apostles and making great personal sacrifices to accomplish the will of God. We see these men hazarding their lives to do what God called them to do. And friends, when we as God's people today see the sacrifices that those who came before us made for the Lord, well, one question I can ask is, who do we think we are that we shouldn't have to make any sacrifices in our service?
Amen.
Think about that for a minute. Think about the sacrifices that the great men and women of the Bible, Old Testament and New, made for the Lord and their service to Him. Let me give you another one, lost reputation. How about Noah? You remember him? What do you think the community thought about him when he started building a big wooden boat? They thought he needed a padded room. That's what they thought. Okay, he lost reputation. He fell out of favor with the Lord. Let me tell you, look at the sacrifices of time and treasure and talents and personal safety that so many people in the Bible made to do the will of God. Let me ask you something. If they had to make those kind of sacrifices, who do we think we are that we don't think we should have to?
Amen.
I'm telling you, sometimes God's will is going to come with a price.
Amen.
And sometimes that price is going to be big. We must, as God's people, be willing to pay it. The account of wise men shows me that God's will often require us to make great sacrifices in our service to the Lord. And I'm just going to say it as plain as I can say it. If you're unwilling to make sacrifices for Him, then are you really truly concerned with doing His will? The answer is probably no. You're probably not. Because if your heart is set on doing the will of God, I'm going to make you a promise. You'll go any place He sends you, even if it's somewhere you don't want to go. You'll do anything He asks you to do, even if it's something you don't want to do. And you'll pay any price you have to pay, even if it costs you everything.
Amen.
That's what doing the will of God is all about, friends, when we see that story with the wise men. This brings me to the final one. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 30, and we see the account of Simeon. In Luke 2, verses 25 through 30, this is the last one. Beginning of verse 25 in Luke 2, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'll tell you about Simeon. He was an old man who loved the Lord and who believed the Lord. This man had been waiting his entire life for Israel's long-awaited Savior to finally show up. And I don't know for sure how long he'd been waiting, but I have to believe he'd been waiting on the Lord for a long, long time. He was obviously a very devout follower of the Lord because verse 25 tells us the Holy Ghost was upon him. Friends, this man had power from God in him. An understanding and a wisdom from God that few people have ever had. And after waiting for a long time, as this man was approaching the end of his life, the Holy Ghost of God spoke to this man's heart and revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. God was going to reward this man's faith, and God was going to reward this man's patience. And true to his word, God allowed this man to see the Lord Jesus and to hold him in his arms before he left this world for eternity. what do we learn from this man's story? Well, I'm going to tell you what I learned from this man's story. I learned that sometimes doing God's will requires us to wait on the Lord.
Amen.
We don't like it, do we? Sometimes doing the will of God not only requires us to wait on the Lord, but it requires us to wait for a very, very, very long time.
Amen.
We Americans, we live in this instant gratification society, don't we? We don't wait on anything. We got so lazy, we don't even leave the house to go to the store to buy something anymore. We just order it on Amazon and it's on the porch in an hour.
Amen.
My errors. We don't want to wait on anything, but I'm going to just tell you the truth this morning. If you're going to really set your heart on doing God's will, sometimes you're going to have to wait for a while.
Amen.
Before God finally shows up and begins to move and fulfill his plan. You know my best advice to you? Just be patient. Wait on him. It'll happen when it's supposed to. I find myself telling that to my daughter here in recent times. Things in her life aren't exactly going the way she wants them to. Keep telling her, just be patient. God has a plan. Wait on him. It'll happen when it's supposed to. Friends, you just be faithful. You just do the best you can do. And I promise you, if you're set on doing God's will, God will make it happen when God's ready to make it happen. He'll do it his way and in his time. He won't do it a second sooner. Sometimes doing God's will means we've got to wait. I know we don't like that, but it's the truth. So as we leave this place this morning, I want to know, how important is God's will to you this Christmas? How important is God's will to you every day? Is his will important enough to you that you, like Joseph, are willing to do his will, even if his will is not your plan? Even if his will is not your will. Are you so committed to doing God's will that you are like Mary, that you are willing to suffer a loss of reputation in the world and fall out of favor with the world in order to accomplish his will? Are you like those shepherds out in the field that night, so interested in the will of God that you'll put his will over everything else, even over things that are truly important? And are you like those wise men that you're so committed to doing his will that you're willing to make any sacrifice if you have to in your service to him, whether it is a sacrifice of your talents or your time or your treasures or, yes, even your own safety? And are you like Simeon, and that you are so committed to doing the will of God that you'll wait on the Lord as long as you have to see him come and move in your life? All these people that I've talked about this morning, they were committed to doing the will of God. And I know they were committed to doing the will of God, not because they told people they were committed to doing the will of God, but because their lives showed that they were committed to doing the will of God.
Amen.
That's how I know. Remember what Jesus said to some of the Jews who didn't believe? He said, "You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from it." I hate to say this, but I think there's a good many people in a lot of churches all over this land this morning who talk a good game, who honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him.
Amen.
Oh yeah, they'll do his will unless it conflicts with theirs. They'll do his will unless somebody else doesn't like it. Oh yeah, they'll do his will as long as they don't have something more important to do. Oh yeah, they'll do his will as long as it doesn't cost them much. No, yeah, they'll do this well as long as they haven't got to wait too long. A whole lot of people like that in the church today. I hate to say that, but we need people like these people today. We need to be people, friends, that go past words when it comes to the will of God. We need to be willing to do whatever we have to do to see his will accomplished. And not just to Christmas, but every single day.
Amen.
God's will supreme in your life today? If it's not, I mean, it ought to be. Because I'll promise you, when you come to the end of the road and you stand before the Lord, you're going to figure out real quick in that moment that there was nothing more important in this life than serving him and doing his will.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful all that you do for us, Lord. We're thankful for this Christmas season, for what it truly means, Lord, the birth of our Savior coming to this world. And Lord, we know why he came. He didn't come just so we could have some holidays and get off work a couple times a year. No, Lord, he came for a purpose. He came to die for our sins. And Lord, I am so thankful for Jesus today, for the great salvation that he has made possible for each of us. And Lord, I do pray if there would be one in this room that's never prayed, never received Jesus to be the Savior, Lord, who needs to make that decision today, I pray, Lord, they would come right now and pray and call on you and receive Christ as their Savior and Lord today before it's too late. Lord, for those of us who are your people, I pray we would take the advice of your word and that we would learn, Lord, from the examples of those who came before us, both those who had good examples and those who didn't. But Lord, I'm thankful today as we've looked at your word for the good examples that we see in these people. People like Joseph, who he had a plan, he had something he was doing, and then, Lord, you just came and turned his life upside down. And yet, Lord, he yielded himself to your will. Help us, Lord, to be like that. Lord, we look at Mary, and Lord, she knew that she would fall out of favor with the world. She knew that people would assume she had done something she hadn't. She knew that she would be shunned. She knew all these things. She knew that it might cost her relationship with Joseph, and yet she yielded herself, Lord, to your will. Help us, Lord, to be people like that. Lord, as we look to the shepherds, they had a very important task. The sheep, they were shepherds. That's what they did, and yet, Lord, when called upon to do so, they left the sheep unattended and unprotected and went to do your will. Lord, help us to be people like that. Father, we look at the wise men who made a long, dangerous journey to come and find your Son, Jesus Christ. We look at the great sacrifices that they made. And Lord, they were willing to make any sacrifice they had to accomplish your will. Lord, help us to be people like that. And Lord, as I look to Simeon, he was an old man who waited his whole life. His will, your will, Lord, was finally accomplished in his life at the very end. Lord, he was willing to wait on you to see your will accomplished. Lord, help us to be people like that. Father, as you're speaking to our hearts today, I pray, Lord, that we would respond, that we would yield ourselves to you in whatever it might be, that we would truly, Lord, allow you to have your way in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our professions, in this church, in everything. Lord, may your will be done. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And it is in his name I pray these things.